Have you ever wondered why the news plays the same five stories again and again? Let me give you a little hint. Brainwashing and repetition is the most basic form of brainwashing. Join me as we look at the news cycle and talk about why the mainstream media is so gutless and afraid to report the truth. What's up? Happy Friday. Welcome to Troubled Minds News. I'm your host, Michael Strange, and this is the show where the conspiracy is the news. Of course, that means propaganda, misinformation, disinformation, flat out spin and lies, and all the rest of it. It's not that hard to really do a news show. Proof, it's just not that hard. Though the assholes out there that try and tell us what they're trying to tell us is for a very specific reason, and it's because they do want to brainwash us. They want to kind of tackle that framing war of the way things are, so that we vote or think a particular way, right? And nothing nefarious about that. That's fine. This is the world we live in, and nobody seems to give a shit. They're just like, meh, CNN, meh, Fox News, right? And it's like, come on now. Hey, there's a lot more in the world out there than both of those two things. So, and of course, both of those two things are very specifically propaganda. So there you go. That's just what this show's about. I got tired of watching these stupid political news cycles as they just lied over and over and over again, omitting ridiculous context that, you know, that should have been included that would have actually made the story accurate. And well, there we are. Anyway, I digress a little bit. This show, of course, is a part of another show called Troubled Minds Radio. Happens Monday through Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific time. And it's where we talk about all kinds of crazy stuff by night, by dark of night. I call that the beer show. This is the the news show, which is the coffee show. So we're not going to get rowdy here. And it only goes an hour, but it is just sort of quick hit news, news pieces from the news cycle. And I try and this is my bread and butter, really. This is where I get a lot of the information for the Troubled Minds radio show and all the rest of that stuff. So I do this anyway. Like, I just kind of cruise the news cycles on a daily basis just to stay abreast of what's actually happening out there and see what they're trying to possibly conceal with some of the larger stories, right? So there you go. That's what this is about. That's who I am. That's what this is. It's a news show. If you want to be part of it, as part of the transparency process, it's important to me. I'll always share my links about the things I'm talking about, and I will always have an open line or an open Discord if you want to pop in here and tell me something. Tell me whatever, show feedback, or you want to talk about the news stories, or whatever. You just want to say hi. That's cool too. And thus, of course, we get too many people in a row calling just to say hi. Then we'll have to, you know, bend the rules a little bit. But, you know, hey. I'm talking here. All right, so let's do it. 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link at troubledminds.org. Put you on the show. What's up, James? Beer. Haven't touched a six-pack yet. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. All right. Let us begin with the news, shall we? Let's go here. Yes. Look at this. NPR reports, oh yes, everybody's been talking about this. So here we go. Let's talk about this. Like I said, there's nothing here. I truly believe there's absolutely nothing here. This is not some sort of biblical pox bringing in the apocalypse. This is not those things, all right? That's my opinion, but I'm pretty locked in that this is the case here. But anyway, a rare monkeypox outbreak in the UK, Europe, and US. What is it, and should we worry? Lots of people are doing lots of worrying about this, but I mean, okay, okay. I'll give you the debrief in my take. By the way, I saw another article. A couple more just popped in Canada today too. Like two more cases of monkeypox in Canada, and so there you go. Here's where we're at. Let's read some of this. This is from May 20th. Yep, all this is going to be piping hot news because that's the way I like to do it. There you go. There's a monkeypox outbreak in the United Kingdom, Portugal, Spain, and other European countries. The outbreak is small so far, about 80 suspected cases, including 9 in England, 17 in China, or sorry, 17 in Canada. Hey, see what I did? I almost called Canada China. Oh, it's, the difference is becoming more, less and less, let's say. 17 in Canada and 23 in Spain. There are also cases in Portugal, Sweden, Italy, and France. Two suspected cases have also been reported in the U.S. Okay. APOC hasn't had her monkeypox yet. Still making the coffee. So there you go. What's up, guys? But health officials have little clue where people caught the monkeypox virus. And there's concern the virus may be spreading through the community undetected and possibly through a new route of transmission. Oh, boy. Here we go. The zoonotics and all the rest of this stuff. Oh, God, here we go. Quote, this outbreak is rare and unusual. Epidemiologist Susan Hopkins, who's the chief medical advisor of the UK Health Security Agency, said in a statement on Monday. Yep. Quote, exactly where and how the people acquired their infections remains under urgent investigation, the agency said in the statement. Oh. All right. Monkeypox can be a nasty illness. It causes fever, body aches, enlarged lymph nodes, and eventually pox, or painful, fluid-filled blisters on the face, hands, and feet. One version of monkeypox is quite deadly and kills up to 10% of people infected. Okay, well, that's problematic, let's say. The version currently in England is milder. Its fatality rate is less than 1%. Time to lock it all down, guys. Lock it all down. A case generally resolves in 2 to 4 weeks. All right. Typically, people catch monkeypox from animals in West Africa or Central Africa and import the virus to other countries. Now, remember, this is from NPR, so this is definitely a propaganda source. So just what's up, Matt says it sounds fake, right? 80 cases worldwide. It's not time to freak out just yet. It's not time to freak out just yet. Not only that, it's again, look at how it actually transmits from person to person. Person to person transmission isn't common, as it requires close contact with bodily fluids, such as saliva from coughing or pus from the lesions. So the risk to the general population is low, the UK Health Agency notes. All right, so don't lick doorknobs, don't hug strangers, don't sweat on each other, don't spit on each other. I know, as hot as that is, everybody wants to just spit on each other. Let's not do that, okay? Let's just not do that. I mean, we'll be fine. What's up, APOC? Always in the meat. It's always the meat. Let's see what I did there. Anyway, look, but in England, 7 of the 8 cases don't involve recent travel to Africa. And this is why people are freaking out about this, suggesting that patients involved in those cases caught the virus in England. On top of that, those individuals haven't had contact with the one patient known to have traveled to Nigeria, the UK HSA reported Tuesday. Together, this data suggests the virus is spreading in the community undetected. All right. I'm telling you guys, don't lick lesions. That's what they look like. Don't do this. Funny, not funny. 702-957-1037. I'm not worried about this because, like I said, it's such a tiny sample size here, and it is, as far as we're aware in medicine today, it is it doesn't spread easily. Okay, so they're saying that they think it's maybe spreading through sex now. It's like, what? Yeah, okay. This seems fine. So basically, if you see a, let's say, meat stick, and it has these things on it, do I need to tell you not to go get after it? do I need to tell you this? 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link at troubleminds.org. We'll put you on the show. Let's go. Speaking of this, damn it. This freaking thing. Turn your ad blocker off. Turn your ad blocker off. Check this out. I'm about to be homeless because, yes, this is from the Las Vegas Review Journal. And look at this. Wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you? If things keep going the way they're going, I can't live here anymore. I moved to Vegas from California because California was ridiculously expensive and just getting worse and worse and worse. I was like, forget this. We're commuting hours, like 4 hours a day just to work. And it's like, come on now, please. Like, let's go somewhere else. So we came to Vegas, and Vegas, by the way, then was really, really nice. It wasn't super overpopulated. It didn't have, ridiculous home prices, nothing like that, right? Like, okay, we can save some money, finally buy a house, you know, and it's realistic. Well, by the time taxes destroyed us 4 or 5 times in 4 or 5 years, then, well, here we are with the housing. Uh-oh, got a phone call. Hello. We're in the same situation all over again, except because Las Vegas is now California East, all right? And, if you don't believe me, come look at all the California license plates all over this damn county. It's ridiculous. Anyway, this is from the Review Journal. Las Vegas area facing fast rising rents ranks number 2. Shit. I'm going to have to move. If they jack my rent, I'm out of here. I can't stay. A sticker shock continues at the grocery store and gas station. Rising rents are also taking a toll on the bank accounts of many southern Nevadans. Oh, well, yeah, thanks. A recent study found that residents in the Las Vegas metro area are experiencing one of the highest percentage rent increases from pre-pandemic 2019 to 2022. Out of the 15 large U.S. metros where rents are rising the most, the Las Vegas Henderson Paradise area ranked number 2, with median rent in 2022 showing an increase of 24.8%. to $1,485, up from $1,190 in 2019. The Sacramento, Roseville, Folsom, California metro area was number 1, with its median rent rising 25.3% to $1,830 a month compared to $1,461 in 2019. And interesting about Sacramento is it used to be one of the more affordable places in the Bay Area because it's like an hour out from, you know, like an hour from, you know, the Bay Area Central sort of thing. And so it was one of the places where people kind of moved, and took a long commute as a result, and it sucked, but at least it was affordable and you can go live up there. Well, that's now that area is the number 1 increasing rent percentage in the country. So there you go. There it is. What's up, Kenjira 80? I see you there. Nice comment. Greetings, Michael Strange. I'm new to this channel, but a little familiar with the show. Found you first on Spotify a month ago. I listened to a bunch of older shows so far. I really like your show very much. Thank you. Thank you for the nice words. Thank you for popping in, saying hi. Thanks for being part of this. I appreciate it very much that you appreciate it. Thank you for that. Let's keep on trucking, shall we? If you want to be a part of the show, 702-957-1037. That's 702-957-1037. We'll put you on the show. Click the Discord link. It's as simple as that. Let's do another one. Let's go to, speaking of, I'm going to have to move. Well, I'm not sure how I'm going to afford to move because we've got this now. Yep, you got it. The New York Post reports Washington State gas stations run out of fuel. Prep for $10 a gallon. This is how the apocalypse ends or begins. The apocalypse begins, not ends. I don't want to know how it ends. Right here, we got the Dairy Queen ad on the right side. It ends with signature stack burgers. That's how the apocalypse ends. Gas stations in Washington State are resetting their price boards to accommodate double digits in preparation for fuel prices potentially reaching $10 a gallon, according to a report. The move comes as several gas stations in the Evergreen State ran out of fuel, the Post-Millennial reported. At the 76 gas station in Auburn, about 30 miles south of Seattle, gas pumps were reprogrammed so they could display, so the display could indicate a price of at least $10 a gallon. The displays were limited to single digits as recently as March, but the surging price of gas has led to the change. A 76 spokesperson told the Post-Millennial that the change did not necessarily mean the company was predicting gas prices would reach $10 a gallon. Of course, right? Because, you know, we don't mean this. We're just preparing for, you know, when it happens, you know. Yeah, there you go. So I don't know how I'm going to be able to move because gas is going to be unaffordable. I guess, so let's say, yeah. Thank goodness I don't drive a ton. Thank goodness Mrs. Strange doesn't drive a ton. We don't have to. What we have to do is mostly close to home. So thank goodness for that. But holy crap-a-roni, right? Like, I can't imagine in the old days, right, in living in California, we used to have to commute hours to get to work. It was a long-ass time, right? It was a long-ass time. And it was one of those ones where it was like, if gas prices were like, you know, $6 or $7 a gallon, it would have ruined you. You spend all your time and all your money on the road for what? For what? For what? 702-957-1037. Let's go to the phones. What's up? You're on Trouble Minds with Mike. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Ken. I'm calling from Ohio.
What's up, Ken? How are you? Welcome to Troubled Minds. What's on your mind today?
I'm the one that just commented on your Twitch channel, Ken080. I just wanted to say I love your show. I was listening to your archive shows, and particularly I was listening to the one last night about Bob Lazar, and I wanted to say, like, I've always kind of believed him, but after hearing him on Joe Rogan, I must listen to it about 5-6 times now. When he says that our government is in possession of hardware from another civilization, and it's a big fucking deal, and he says it just like that, I believe the guy, because, like, I play poker, and I can kind of read people, and this dude is telling the truth, man. And that's just all I had to say about it. Like, I know it's going back to a really old episode, but... Yeah, I really like what you do.
Yeah, I appreciate it. That's cool. I was noticing, by the way, before you go, that that particular show, that old show, is probably the most listened to one we've ever done on Troubled Minds, that old Bob Lazar show, which is so old. It's like so... Yeah. But which means what I'm saying is I think maybe we should probably do an updated version of that maybe coming up recently, because things have changed, right? He said some different things since then, not just the Joe Rogan episode. He's done several other interviews with Jeremy Corbell and some other things, and some new information has come to light regarding the entire case. So I think maybe at some point here in the near future, we should probably revisit Bob Lazar. But thank you for dipping in here, Ken. I appreciate you very much. What else you got for us while we got you on the phone?
Well, I just wanted to say one thing that really caught me about, like, all of, like, the, I'm really big into the UFOs, Zeta Reticuli, the aliens. I mean, I love all that stuff, and I really noticed that, like, Hollywood put out, like, a lot of, like movies that are, like, about disasters with, like, I don't really necessarily agree with, like, a lot of things, like you were saying, that show with, like, Stephen Greer, because he always has all the answers. What intrigued me, like, Frank Pierce was saying, is that he doesn't know, you know, and I remember one night I was sitting on the phone talking to a friend, and I was sitting outside the airport, and you know, I see airplanes come and go, but, like, I back then they were talking about dragonfly drones that were, like, alien technology, and I think I've seen one, man. I've seen it sitting in the sky, and it blinked and appeared to the right of me, then to the left, and then just shot away, and I was like, whoa, what was that, man? So I've just always been intrigued with this stuff, but I just figured I'd share that tidbit with you.
Right on. I appreciate it. That once you see something like that, you have a hard time shaking it, don't you? I've seen some weird stuff too. Thank you so much for listening. Yeah. Thank you for the phone call, my friend. This is more of a shorter episode. We do just an hour, so we can't have long phone calls. But thank you for popping in, saying hi. Thanks for listening. Thanks for giving us a phone call. You're welcome anytime. You know where to find us. Okay.
I'll pop it again some other time, man.
Thanks a lot, bro. Appreciate you very much. Thanks for the call. Have a great afternoon. That's Ken in Ohio. There you go. Easy as that. Phone lines work, 702-957-1037. Let's get a quick word from our sponsor, which, of course, is you. And we'll be right back with more Troubled Minds news. And, of course, myself, Michael Strange. Be right back.
Are you digging the show? If so, you can support us quite easily and at no additional cost to you if you already have an Amazon Prime account. Since we stream on Twitch every day, all you have to do is link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account, and they give you free games on a monthly basis for your personal use, and also a bonus $5 a month to send to your favorite streamer as a way to bring more people to Twitch. And all you have to do is sync up the two accounts and click subscribe. Thanks for considering us.
All right, let's do it. Welcome back to Troubled Minds News, and Michael Strange, thanks for the phone call. Ken, appreciate that. Thanks for noticing all the hard work, all the hundreds of episodes on the podcast feed. Let's continue, shall we? Let's go to Gizmodo. Gizmodo. Speaking of UFOs, Ken almost read my mind here. Check this out. They talk about transmedium travel, right? Lou Elizondo talks about the five observables, and transmedium travel is one of those things, meaning through the atmosphere into space or from the atmosphere atmosphere into, let's say, the water, right? And saying that UFOs can do these things in particular because, well, that's because, you know, they're whatever they are. They got their weirdness of, you know, ability to do these things. But we got this, right? So, and they say, we don't have that technology, guys. We don't have things that can go in the water and that can fly, right? Those things don't exist. Well, I don't know. From Gizmodo. Yeah, you got it. Ingenious underwater drone can transition to flight in less than a second. Yeah. Right? Let's read it. Sorry, I got a text message, Mrs. Strange. Robots have traditionally been a purpose built to perform a single specific, very specific task. But researchers from Beihang University are taking a much different approach with a new robotic drone that can operate underwater just as easily as in the air. And it features a clever nature-inspired trick for maximizing its range. Okay, blah, blah, blah. The adaptable approach makes it easier for companies. Okay, let's see. Here we go. How does this work? This works. For example, okay, we got the dogs. Oh, go quadcopter drones, blah, blah. Whatever. Okay, read the thing. I kind of don't give a shit. Meaning that I'm just saying that, like, they say we don't have this technology. They say that it's not part of, it's not in the lexicon of what we do, right? Specifically with military or anything else. And notice, by the way, when they talked about transmedium UFOs, they talked about underwater UFOs and sensors and the UFO hearing this past week. Well, they said, well, we'll talk about that in a closed setting, right? Because they have this shit. They have this shit, okay? And so it's one of those ones where it's like, no, of course they have this, and duh, right? But the question becomes, like, how much of this is ours and how much is theirs? Meaning, you know, let's say, well, I don't know, the aliens from Alpha Centauri. You know what I mean? What's up, Yorick? I see you there in the chat. How are you? I am new. I am also new. Not really that new, but I'm kind of new. Anyway, let's go. Let's keep on trucking. Let's go to livescience.com. As always, if you guys want to read these entire articles, I encourage you to, so that you can see that the stuff I'm reading here and it's actually sourced, and I'm not just randomly making shit up. It may be propaganda in some points, but I am sourcing this stuff, so you don't think I'm just flat out making stuff up. Anyway, Live Science, check this out. Alien shopping bag ocean weirdo has glowing Cheetos for guts. Yeah, I said that. I said it. Yeah. The deep sea creature surprised scientists. This was from 4 hours ago. Check this out. Look at the picture of this thing. You guys are watching the stream. It is just as it describes, resembling an alien shopping bag with guts made of glowing Cheetos. A bizarre creature took center stage in new footage captured by a remotely operated vehicle deep in the Pacific Ocean, gliding through the sea at a depth of some 7,221 feet. The ocean weirdo, actually an unknown species of sea cucumber, had its innards on display in the new clip taken in March by an ROV exploring part of the Pacific Remote Islands Marine National Monument southeast of Honolulu. The ROV was gliding over an unexplored seamount at the Kingman Reef and Palmyra Atoll when operators spotted the creature, said Megan Cook, the director of education and outreach, and blah, blah, blah. Quote, these are always so exciting and spectacular to see because just what an incredible animal. Yes, what an incredible animal. Look at that. Glowing guts for Cheetos. Glowing Cheeto guts. Whatever. Sea cucumbers or holothurians are a diverse group, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I thought it was fantastic because, hey, you know, these titles are just getting better in the press, right? Alien shopping bag ocean weirdo has glowing Cheetos for guts. How do you beat that, right? How the hell do you beat that? I'm not sure you can. Let's keep on trucking, shall we? 702-957-1037. Thanks again to Ken for the phone call. Let's go to the universe. Back to the universe. Universe today. Let's look at this. May 31st could be the most powerful meteor storm in generations. Or nothing at all. What the fuck? Okay. All right. Be sure to watch the skies on the last morning of May for a possible Tau Herculid meteor outburst. If predictions hold true, we may be in for a rare meteor outburst from an obscure meteor shower on May 31st, topping 1,000 meteors per hour. Or we may see nothing at all. Welcome to the wonderful world of meteor shower predictions and prognostications. The story starts with the discovery of periodic comet 73P Schwachmann-Wachmann 3. Ha! That's a real thing. Back in 1930 from the Hamburg Observatory. We'll be referring it as comet 73P from here on out because that's a very long name, of course. But here we go. But it was the orbit of comet 73P that gave observers pause. Going around the sun as a short period comet once every 5.4 years with an orbit inclined just over 11 degrees relative to the elliptic plane, there was a good chance the comet would be a splendid object on its May 31st, 1930 passage, 0.062 astronomical units from Earth. That's 9.2 million kilometers. All right. Anyway, so there you go. We're going to see the most spectacular thing in generations. Or nothing at all. I just thought it was amazing. Again, if you want to check it out, May 31st, I'll put this on the calendar. We'll keep an eye on this and see if this turns into, I don't know, maybe this is going to be our alien invasion, right? The sky's lighting up with the sound of music, and it's wonderful. What do you think? 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link at troubledminds.org. Let's do it. What do we got? We got, time's good. How about this? BBC.com. The Robert was talking about this. Extinction. Why scientists are freezing threatened species in biobanks. Uh-oh. Hey, because, you know, we got to repeat history, right? Nothing new under the sun. All this stuff. We're going to just redo Noah's Ark. That's all fine. Let's see. The bird is a chattering lory, an elderly resident at Chester Zoo and a species listed by the International Union for the Conservation of Nature and as vulnerable to extinction. It is sad to see this striking characterful bird having to be put to sleep. His small clawed feet are gnarled with arthritis now too severe to treat. It is not the end, though, for the unique genetic code contained in his cells. A few small pieces of his body will join samples taken from 100 species. They will be frozen, stored indefinitely in the UK's largest biobank of living tissue. Nature's safe. In vials of nutrient-rich, cell-friendly antifreeze. That sounds super healthy. The samples are kept at negative 196 degrees Celsius, at which point all the natural chemical processes in cells stop. They are suspended in animation. I think in suspended animation. Anyway, the idea is that at some point in the future, in decades, perhaps even centuries, they could be resurrected. This is a frozen backstop in case of extinction. Hey, we talked about this, life extension for people. We've talked about life extension for, or at least de-extinction for animals. What's up? Matt says the movie Titan AE. Is that what that's about? Yeah, right. I mean, this is cool. I mean, this is fine. I mean, what can you do? It seems weird to me that this is where we're heading. We're like, let's just kick the can down the road and pray that science catches up to dead things. Yeah, there you go. What are your thoughts? As always, love to hear from you. 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link at troubleminds.org. We'll put you on the show. It's as easy as that. And let's see where you at. Everything good? Everything's fine. We're all fine here now. All right, I think we're good. Let's take one more quick break and get a word. No, actually, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. I'm sorry. Let's not do that. Let's move on to this one. This is wild. This turns into some really crazy implications here. We've talked about this. Remember the killer cars episode? Remember that? Yeah. Remember that? We did that? Yeah. Check this out. Tech Dirt. Uh-huh. $100 Bluetooth hack can unlock all kinds of devices, including Teslas, from miles away. this is great. So, while they're not impervious, at least you know where you stand with a good old-fashioned dumb lock. That's in stark contrast to so-called smart locks, which studies have repeatedly shown to be easily compromised with minimal effort. One report showed that 12 of 16 smart locks they tested could be relatively easily hacked thanks to flimsy security standards. Now there's a new vulnerability. To worry about. Sorry, Sultan Kasim Khan, a researcher at NCC Group Over, has discovered a new Bluetooth vulnerability that's relatively trivial to exploit with around $100 in hardware, and impacts potentially thousands of Bluetooth devices, including Teslas. Yep. Let's see. What's going on, guys? Oh boy. All right. Anyway, so the attack exploits a weaknesses in the Bluetooth low energy standard adhered to by thousands of device makers, including smart door locks, cars, laptops, and various Internet of Things devices. It's a form of relay attack that usually requires two attackers, one near the target and one near the phone used to unlock the target. But this class of attack doesn't even require two people. A relaying device can be placed near where the target device is located or will be located, like, let's say, by your driveway, for instance, and the other attacker can be targeting the device from hundreds of yards or even miles away. Oh, all right. Device makers have implemented a bunch of countermeasures to prevent against these types of attacks, but Khan found a way to mitigate those countermeasures. Many other companies are smart enough to avoid using BLE for proximity authentication, but given that privacy and security is an afterthought for many companies, many still do. All told, it's just another reminder that dumb tech is often smarter. like I said, I don't need my toaster watching me. Sorry. Not happening. The more they start doing this shit, and including like the Internet of Things and devices, I think the more low tech I'm going to get. That'd be like, well, you can't get a toaster anymore without like a spy camera. Okay, I'll just go without a toaster then, right? Like, this is the type of shit. When my last old school toaster breaks, I'll either find a way to repair the thing, or, well, I just won't have a toaster anymore. There you go. What are your thoughts? 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link at troubledminds.org. This is Troubled Minds News. I'm Michael Strange. Don't go anywhere. More after we get a word from our sponsor, which, of course, is you. Be right back. Welcome back to Troubled Minds News. I'm Michael Strange. Let's keep on trucking, shall we? We got this. Notice that we've got a website called Tech Dirt that was actually dishing the dirt on this. So Tech Dirt is telling us smart locks are dumb and dumb locks are smart. There you go. just so you know, bigthink.com. I love this one. We talked about this last night a little bit and the previous night on Troubled Minds as well. Check this out. This is back to the nature of reality. I love this stuff. Are you a spectator to reality or are you its creator? And we talked a little bit about this last night in terms of, do you ever feel like your life is being written by somebody else? There's like some ghostwriter out there that's just writing the details, and the life you're living may not even be your own. Well, there you go. Let's add that to the wrinkle here. But pretty good stuff. We talked about this, right? If a tree falls down in a forest and nobody is there to hear it, it really does not make a sound, right? Or does it? When you what you experience as sound is constructed in your brain. You cannot experience the world or even your own body objectively, but seeking out new experiences, your brain teaches itself to craft new meaning. All right, so there's a whole bunch of stuff here. This is very long. The big thing stuff is fantastic, and we do quite often. I'm inspired by the work they do, and do Trouble Mind shows based on some of this stuff sometimes. But here we go. Everything you see, hear, smell, or taste, every touch you feel, and every action you take arises from a complex web of interwoven signals, and some of the most important signals are found only in your brain. Your brain does not detect features in the world and body. It constructs, say it, Mike, it constructs features to create meaning. Some constructed features are closer in detail to raw sensory data, such as lines and edges and color. Scientists call them physical features. Mental features are more abstract. When you appreciate a beautiful painting, the beauty is not in the painting. It's created in your brain. When you eat a delicious dinner, the deliciousness is not in the meal, but constructed in your head. The same goes for the last jerk who cut you off in traffic. You did not detect the driver's jerkiness. Your brain constructed it as an ensemble of signals. In any case, fantastic thoughts here. Are you a spectator to reality or just its creator? I think, therefore, I am not normal. What's up? Speaking of the Robert, how are you? This is fascinating stuff. I love this. You guys know we'll revisit this at some point on Troubled Minds as well, because it's a fantastic conversation. But doing the news today, so we're not going to spend too much time on this. If you got comments or you want to say hi, show feedback, whatever, we're here for you. 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link at troubledminds.org. There you go. Let's do this. Let's go to sciencealert.com. Mars has auroras without a global magnetic field. And we finally know how. Oh, all right. That's cool. Let's see. We got this. New analysis confirmed that these small local magnetic fields on Mars interact with the solar wind in interesting ways to produce Mars's discrete or structured ultraviolet auroras. Quote, "We have the first detailed study looking at how solar wind conditions affect auroras on Mars," said physicist and astronomer Zachary Gerazian of the University of Iowa. Continuing, quote, "Our main finding is that inside the strong crustal field region, the aurora occurrence rate depends mostly on the orientation of the solar wind magnetic field, while outside the strong crustal field region, the occurrence rate depends mostly on the solar wind dynamic pressure. Here on Earth, we have a pretty good handle of how auroras borealis and australis happen. They appear when particles from the solar wind collide with Earth's magnetosphere and are then accelerated along the lines of the magnetic field to high latitudes, where they rain down into the upper atmosphere. There, they interact with atmospheric particles to produce the shimmering lights that dance across the sky. Evidence suggests that the phenomena form in similar ways on other bodies. For instance, Jupiter's powerful permanent auroras are also facilitated by the enormous planet's complex magnetic field." And there you go. Yeah, so we got some news on Mars, right? Why not do some news on Mars? 702-957-1037. Let's go to continue. Let's keep on trucking. TechCrunch.com. TechCrunch. This one just makes me chuckle. This is what the whole world is about. Coca-Cola's attached bottle cap is rock bottom of hokey greenwashing. Greenwashing. You ever heard the term? Like the green children of Woolpit, like Kelly brought up last night? Yeah, greenwashing. Weird. Listen to this. This guy is super mad. Haji Jan Camps, maybe. I don't know how to say it. But anyway, he wrote this today. Look at this. He says, "I don't cover post-IPO companies a lot, and Coca-Cola is definitely on the list of ones I can generally ignore. But when the company sends out a hand-wringing press release about how awesome they are for launching a bottle cap where the cap stays attached to the bottle for environmental reasons, I'm sorry. My blood just boils," the writer says. So mad. He says, "Don't get me wrong, better recyclability is a good thing, and fewer bottle caps failing to make their way to recycling, I'm all for it. But for the context for this is in the UK, like in the US, bottles are recycled rather than reused, and they're recycled at rates that are pitiful." I've said this quite a lot. The old recycling scams, right? In the rest of Europe, Coca-Cola and other drink manufacturers figured out a functioning system. Pay a deposit when you buy a bottle or aluminum can, and you get a deposit back when you return it. It works. They do that in California, by the way. In Norway, for example, in 2018, the return ratio of reusable bottles was 95 cents, and aluminum cans were returned in upwards of 98% in all cases. I have a hard time believing that. To be perfectly honest, 95% and 98% returned bottles. I call shenanigans. I say all statistics are made up. Anyway, or let's say at least spun. Anyway, after being returned, the packaging is reused, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so point being, right, like all the rest of this, this is just a virtue signal for hokey greenwashing, right? Hokey greenwashing. They're like, oh, now the cap stays attached to the bottle. So when you throw it in the recycling tub and it goes to China, right, so they can like incinerate it and, you know, whatever the hell they do in China, you've got the cap is now attached and you don't have to worry about losing the cap. There it is. There it is. This is why, and I'm not an anti-environmentalist. I'm a environmental conservationalist at heart, and I think that it's just tragic all the BS we're doing. I intentionally try not to do all the dumb stuff and create extra garbage and, you know, just, you know, I don't know, like pour paint down the drains and shit. You know, I don't do that stuff, right? Like there are things, you know, like people can stop doing to help, but in these cases, right, there's this. It's not about like fixing the problems. It's about putting out press releases about how look how green we are. Yeah, well, add Coca-Cola to the list, right? Yeah, what's up? Matt says Oregon is the best at 10 cents a can. Yeah, that's true, right? It's completely true. It's like its own little cottage industry up there. Like you can go collect cans and, you know, make some some money, make some money. What's up, ancient feces? What's up? What's up? There we go. What's up, Stinky? TheGuardian.com reports this. Let's go. Let's get off the green energy cabal and go to Stonehenge Builders ate undercooked offal. Awful? O-F-F-A-L. Is that how you say that? Awful? I don't know how to say it. Ancient feces reveals. Yeah. Hey, we ain't talked about ancient poop in quite a while, so let's do it. What's up? James says Michigan is 10 cents as well for most carbonated beverages. Yep, there it is, right? Here we go. This is now we know, right? Now we know about Stonehenge. Parasite eggs found in 4,500-year-old human feces suggest the builders of Stonehenge took part in a winter feast that included the internal organs of animals, researchers have revealed. The huge stone circle of Stonehenge is thought to have been built around 2500 BC, with evidence suggesting the builders were housed at a settlement known as Durrington Walls, about 2 miles away. The site was predominantly occupied in the winter months and appears to have been used for between 10 to 50 years. Experts say they have discovered intestinal parasites in ancient feces, or coprolites. Sounds delicious. Recovered from the prehistoric rubbish dumps of Durrington Walls, offering new insights into the lives and diet of those who constructed Stonehenge. Rubbish. I like how the Guardian UK News, rubbish. God, I love the rubbish. Quote, it's the earliest where we know the origin of the person who went to the toilet, said Dr. Piers Mitchell of the University of Cambridge, a co-author of the study. Writing in the journal of Parasitology, love that. Mitchell and colleagues report how they found 19 coprolites at Durrington Walls, five of which contained intestinal parasites. Yeah, there you go. Analysis of substances such as bile acid within the feces revealed four of those coprolites were from dogs, and one from a human, with both the latter and three of the canine specimens containing eggs of a parasitic worm known as Capillaria. These eggs show similarities to those of a species that infects cattle today. So there you go. Now, hey, sometimes you got to talk about old poop, and here we are talking about old poop, and that's just the way it is. So they say that they know sort of maybe what the possible Stonehenge builders ate. Undercooked. You got to make sure it gets to that temperature, guys, or else you don't kill the parasites. You get a tapeworm and stuff. Don't do that. 702-957-1037. What's up? Matt says it's by the pound here, around $1 a pound or something like that. Right? Yeah, I remember. I used to run all my my recycling back personally because they were jacking me, right? Every time you go down there and buy, I used to buy a crap ton, way too much Pepsi, and I stopped drinking that. But, you know, other things develop. But you know what I mean. So, I used to go back and get all my Pepsi, you know, pennies back and go buy more Pepsi. But it's been a while because I haven't been there in, you know, California, at least in that regard for quite some time. But what are your thoughts anyway? 702-957-1037. Let's keep on trucking. Here's a super weird one. You want the world and life to get super weird? Speaking of parasites, we're going to just take on parasites and stay on this for just a moment. Look at this from Science Alert. Mind-altering parasite may make infected people more attractive, study suggests. What in the world? Yeah, what? Okay. The brain hijacking parasite, we talked about this, Toxoplasma gondii, seems to be almost everywhere. Remember we talked about this? That's the one with the pregnant women and the cats and the, right, the mice, that life cycle, and then the people that drive motorcycles at 150 miles an hour. Toxoplasma gondii. The microscopic invader is thought to infect up to 50% of people, and a range of studies suggest it may alter human behavior, in addition to that of many other animals. The parasite has been linked with a large range of neurological disorders, including schizophrenia and psychotic episodes, and scientists keep uncovering more mysterious effects that may result from infection. Check this out. In one such new study, researchers found that men and women infected by the parasite ended up being rated as more attractive and healthier looking than non-infected individuals. On the face of it, that might sound strange and unlikely, but hypothetically speaking, the phenomenon could make sense from an evolutionary biology standpoint, research scientists say. Here's some A, B, C, and their A and B slides with different people. It says above, composite images of 10 toxoplasma-infected women and men beside 10 images of 10 non-infected women and men. I'm not sure if you're talking about different people, how you can measure this, but anyway, This continues. Amidst the many neurobiological changes Toxoplasma gondii infection appears to bring about in its hosts, researchers hypothesize some of the effects may occasionally benefit infected animals, which might then benefit the parasite too, by subsequently helping to spur its own transmission prospects. In one study, toxoplasma-infected male rats were perceived as more sexually attractive and were preferred as sexual partners by non-infected females, researchers explain in a new paper led by first author and biologist Javier Borras-León from the University of Turku in Finland. Much research has been devoted to investigating whether similar effects can be seen in human cases of Toxoplasma gondii infection. The evidence is far from clear, but some evidence suggests infected men have higher levels of testosterone than non-infected men. Remember we did this, right? We talked about this. This was part of that alien parasite show that we did, because why not? Why not? What do you think? Yeah, you become infected, you're just a little bit more sexy. 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link, troubleminds.org. We'll put you on the show. It's as easy as that. Let's do, there's the thing. There you go. What's up? Robert says, Botox, breast augmentation. Now millions of women will be rushing to clinics to be injected with that parasite, right? Kinda. All right, let's continue. We got this. Why not go from Toxoplasma gondii to NASA? This is from IFL Science, of course, which is IF in love science. NASA warns acidic shark cano is starting to erupt. Don't these headlines just get better and better and better and better, right? Not Sharknado, mind you, not Sharknado, because that would just be stupid. This is Sharkcano, guys. This is the sequel to Sharknado. In 2015, an expedition set out to investigate the Kavachi submarine volcano in the Solomon Islands. The volcano had recently had a lull in activity, making it possible to explore inside the active crater. In the extreme conditions of acidic water containing high levels of sulfur on top of an active volcano, they found more life than they were expecting, as well as microbial species that thrive on sulfur. They discovered two species of sharks, hammerheads and the silky shark, living in the crater of the volcano. Their findings were published in 2016 in the journal Oceanography. Quote, populations of gelatinous animals, small fish, and sharks were observed inside the active crater, the team wrote in their paper, raising new questions about the ecology of active submarine volcanoes and the extreme environments in which large marine animals can exist. The team dubbed the volcano Sharkcano, given the large number of sharks apparently happily living in the hot acidic waters. Kavachi is located about 24 kilometers or 15 miles south of Vangunu Island. Quote, two species of shark, the scalloped hammerhead and the silky shark, approached the baited camera multiple times in an aggressive pattern. In some cases, sharks appeared to be swimming from greater depths inside the crater. There we go. So we've got an actual Sharkcano, and there it is. Rohan's got it right. Sharkcano, you lose. Mortal Kombat pun there, right? Yeah, Kano, right? Kano? Yeah, I don't know. Fight fire with fire. 702-957-1037. I see you guys in the chat. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for being here today. Going to take one more quick break and get a word from our sponsor, which, of course, is you. And that's the beauty of this, by the way. We don't have, like, actual, like, sponsors, direct sponsors, and this show is literally funded by just people, we're uncancelable, right? It doesn't matter. We do what we do, and somebody gets mad, and that's that. You can't call up Clorox and be like, look, Mike said this, right? You can't do it. It's a beautiful thing. Like I said, a word from our sponsor, which is you. And by the way, if you've subbed up on Twitch using Amazon Prime, don't forget that it does expire every month. It doesn't cost you any extra. It's included in your Amazon yearly price, so it doesn't cost you anything. But if you do forget to resub, it falls off. So anyway, let's do that. Get one more word, and let's keep on trucking and finish this sucker up. Here we go. This is Troubled Minds News. I'm Michael Strange. Be right back.
Are you digging the show? If so, you can support us quite easily and at no additional cost to you if you already have an Amazon Prime account. Since we stream on Twitch every day, all you have to do is link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account, and they give you free games on a monthly basis for your personal use, and also a bonus $5 a month to send to your favorite streamer as a way to bring more people to Twitch. And all you have to do is sync up the two accounts and click subscribe. Thanks for considering us.
All right, let's do it. Let's keep on trucking. Trouble Minds News. I'm Michael Strange. Let's go to this. IGN.com. I think this is fantastic because I love Middle Earth and I love Tolkien and I love, The Lord of the Rings. Check this out. The most distant known star in the universe is named after a Tolkien character. Here's why. Irindel. How Irindel got named after a character from the Silmarillion. Thank you for the resub there, Stinky. Appreciate that. Look, earlier this year, a team of astronomers at Johns Hopkins University, led by Brian Welch, a PhD candidate, discovered the most distant star, known star ever recorded. While the discovery itself is incredible and has been widely reported on from the past month and a half, which we've talked about as well, there was one thing in particular that caught my attention, says Cian Mar. How do you say that name? C-I-A-N? Anyway, that's the guy. The star is named after a character from J.R.R. Tolkien's The Silmarillion. There's a reason for that, but first it's important to discuss how the star named Irindel was actually discovered. Okay, blah, blah, blah. They discovered it. Yeah, we got all that. Let's get to the Tolkien stuff, shall we? Tolkien's character Irindel was definitely the original inspiration for the name, Welch confirms. Once we were reasonably sure this object was a star, I started brainstorming possible names. Irindel was one of the first things to come to mind, since he ends up sailing his ship Vingolot through the heavens with the Simaril on his brow, becoming a star and a symbol of hope over Middle-earth. As I looked into it further, I found that Tolkien's original inspiration for the character was an old English word Irindel, meaning morning star, which appears in a poem entitled this is some language I can't speak, so I'm not going to read it. It means this: Hail Irindel, brightest of angels, sent to men over Middle-earth. The morning star reference worked particularly well, since this is a time period often referred to as the cosmic dawn. So that kind of sealed the deal for me. And there you go. Irindel, right? Yeah, perfect. I love it. I love it. This is what this is all about. Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien, and astronomy, because why the hell not? Let's go back to IFL. I freaking love science and can keep on trucking. 702-957-1037 if you want to call. You want to pop in here and say hi. You got some stuff to talk about. Whatever. Show feedback. Whatever it is. It's all good. Let's go here. Let's go to this. Ultra cold bubbles created in space quantum lab provide new window on fifth state of matter. Yep. We got a new fifth state of matter. Is this shit about to turn on its head with physics and whatnot? Are we about to actually create our own UFOs and shit? Who knows? On the International Space Station, there is a device not much bigger than a mini fridge. Inside, researchers have been able to remotely create bubbles at almost absolute zero that could, in the future, be used to explore the fifth state of matter. The achievement is pretty momentous. Anyway, there's no way to create them here on Earth. Gravitational effects on Earth tend to compress these potential bubbles into something that looks like a contact lens. But thanks to the continuous free fall of an orbital experiment, gravity can be ignored on the ISS, where NASA's Cold Atom Lab, the first quantum physics facility in space, resides. And these peculiar structures can be formed. A new study published in Nature details the creation of these bubbles from gas cooled to just 1/1000th of a degree above absolute zero, the coldest temperature allowed in the universe. Incredibly, researchers in California can operate the Cold Atom Lab, the coldest known place in space from Earth, without astronaut assistance. Anyway, hopefully we're going to get a fifth state of matter here, and science is going to get turned on its head again, which is amazing, because remember, we're supposed to trust the science, even though, well, you know, we don't know everything about everything quite just yet. Remember all that stuff? Yeah, I'm not going to get into that. It'll just give me a bellyache. 702-957-1037. Let's keep on trucking. Let's go to New Scientist, one of my favorites. They have the most lockdown tinfoil hat paywall ever, but I still love their stuff. Why the next big solar storm might hit Earth without warning. Okay, all right, this is fine. A big solar storm, let's just skip that, go straight to it. Trouble brewed on January 30th, 2022, although no one knew how bad it was going to be. If they had, SpaceX wouldn't have launched 49 Starlink satellites into low Earth orbit a few days later. It began as a giant cloud of magnetized gas called a coronal mass ejection, hurled in our direction from the sun. That wasn't a big concern. Sure, solar storms can heat Earth's atmosphere, causing it to expand and drag on low-flying satellites, but all measurements suggested only mild consequences. chances. Power grids and satellites might glitch a little, and sky watchers at high latitudes might notice aurorae, but nothing serious. Soon after the Starlink satellites launched from Florida's Kennedy Space Center, however, it was clear something was up. When it reached Earth's upper atmosphere, the satellites experienced much more drag than expected from the storm's magnitude. In the end, nothing could be done. Controllers watched as 40 of the satellites were dragged down, burning up in the atmosphere in a demonstration of the sun's capricious power. Bum, bum, bum. Down here on Earth, we enjoy the benefits. Okay, anyway, blah, blah, blah. We don't even know. We talk about this stuff. We talk about the solar cycles. I think it's 11-year solar cycles, right? But in this case, to the best measurements, the sun still got the better of Elon Musk. And figure that out. Let's keep on trucking. We've got a couple more, and let's finish this up. Let's go back to Gizmodo, one of my favorites. Gizmodo is so hit and miss. Sometimes they're just trash, and sometimes they're really good. Check this out. Speaking of trash, this is the headline. This is the actual headline. Check this out. Does Texas's idiot attorney general have a point about Chrome's incognito mode? Right? Right? There's the headline, right? Nice work, Gizmodo. Nice work. Nice work. Because you can't talk about somebody without, like, shitting on their politics, right? That's life anymore. Anyway, the Lone Star State is coming for incognito mode. In a petition filed Thursday that piggybacks on a previous lawsuit against Google, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton described the so-called private search setting as misleading and deceptive because of its location tracking. Pulling out his dictionary, Paxton takes issue with Google's very use of the term incognito, which he says an everyday Texan would interpret to mean having one's identity concealed. There is also Merriam-Webster's interpretation, of course, which is what it is. Yeah, exactly. Idiot. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Google's representations about incognito mode are false, deceptive, and misleading, the suit reads. Not only do users not know that Google is able to and does collect data on them during private browsing, users effectively have no way to avoid much of Google's data collection practices. Incognito browsing hides your search history from other people using your device. It doesn't actually stop Google or its advertiser friends from logging and profiting off your search history. So, does Paxton, an idiot election denier who's been under indictment for 7 years, have a point? Yeah, see? You got to add it in here as well, right? An idiot election denier. Way to go, Gizmodo. You guys are trash. Why don't you just talk about the thing and not the people, you clowns? Yeah, see what I did there? Clowns. Gizmodo, you suck. Anyway, they have a point because this idiot guy, they say, is incognito mode, and it's all true. Yeah. Yeah, I know, James. You're in the clear, brother. All right, fizz.org. Let's a couple more, and let's wrap this up. It goes like this. Ghostly mirror world might be cause of cosmic controversy. We've talked about this, right? We've talked about this, yes. By Steve Carr, University of New Mexico, and this is May 19th. It seems like the science is following us now. So weird. New research suggests an unseen mirror world of particles that interacts with our world only via gravity that might be the key to solving a major puzzle in cosmology today, the Hubble constant problem, right? The Hubble constant is the rate of expansion of the universe today. Predictions for this rate from cosmology's standard model are significantly slower than the rate found by our most precise local measurements. This discrepancy is one that many cosmologists have been trying to solve by changing our current cosmological model. The challenge is to do so without ruining the agreement between standard model predictions and many other cosmological phenomena, such as the cosmic microwave background. Determining whether such a cosmological cosmological scenario exists is the question that researchers, including Francis Jan Sir-Racine, assistant professor in the Department of Physics and Astronomy at the University of New Mexico, Fei Gi and Lloyd Knox at the University of California, Davis, have been trying to answer. According to NASA, cosmology is the scientific study of the large-scale properties of the universe as a whole. Cosmologists study concepts such as dark matter, dark energy. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Mirror world. Hey, maybe we'll do one coming up. Who knows? We probably just did one of these. So, they seem to keep talking about this. So maybe it's a thing. Maybe it's a thing. I have no idea. Got a couple minutes if you want to squeak in here and say hi. 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link at troubledminds.org. And let's wrap this up with this one right here. SciTech Daily. astronomers, speaking of Arundel and mirror universes and, cosmic things, astronomers discover mysterious circular ring, likely of intergalactic origin. Is this the one ring to rule them all? You tell me. Western Sydney researchers, university researchers, together with an international team of experts, have discovered a mysterious circular ring near our neighboring galaxy that could be the first known case of an intergalactic supernova remnant. Remains of an exploded star that could be up to 7,000 years old. Dubbed a rogue supernova remnant by the scientists and named J0624-6948, it is most likely located in the large Magellanic Cloud, the LMC, a satellite galaxy of the Milky Way, and its position suggests a previously unobserved origin. Published in the prestigious journal Monthly Notices of Royal Astronomical Society, lead author Professor another big name from the University School of Science, said the discovery was exciting and raised many unanswered questions. Quote, "When we originally discovered this almost perfect circular radio object, we thought it was yet another ORC, or odd radio circle. But after our additional observations, it became clear that this object is much more likely to be something else." Dun, dun, dun. The plot thickens, of course. The ring that was discovered has significant differences to the other five other known ORCs. That's an orc, by the way, speaking of Middle Earth. A flatter radio spectral index, lack of a prominent central galaxy as a possible host, and larger apparent size that all suggest it may be a different type of object. There you go. There you go. We got this, circle. Galactic circle. We got orcs and goblins, Cthulhu's bathtub ring. we got some ideas here. We got some ideas flown in the chat. Yeah, I don't know. This seems to be, we got some orcs, some goblins, some Arundels, some very Middle Earth heavy in the back half of this. And what can you do? Hey, what can you do? All right. So what's up, orcs? Orcs in the chat. All right. So what we're going to do is finish this up. This is, of course, the Friday edition of Troubled Minds News. I'm Michael Strange. And thanks for being part of this week, guys. Just as an aside that you may not have noticed, last night our YouTube video got taken down and locked as private. I'm not exactly sure. I'm still trying to figure out what's up with that. I'm going to make another couple edits to it and see if trimming out some of the that fringe fundraiser stuff was part of it. Shout out to Tam Bam for pointing out that may be an issue. I don't know. Even though, like, the previous three this week, I did something very similar and nothing happened to those. So I don't know exactly what happened, but they did lock it last night. So if you want to see the last night's show, you can find it on Rockfin, actually. So I'm going to link it in the chat here if you guys, many of you, like to catch up and keep an eye on what we're doing. But this one in particular was actually censored, and I'm not exactly sure why just yet. However, here we go. We'll just pull this up, and let's see. Is it playing? Yeah, I think it's good. Yep, there it is. Stop, stop, stop. Damn it. All right, here we go. I'll find it. I'll get it. Anyway, all right. I'm going to link this because this is not good. All right, shut up. I'm closing the tab. All right, I'm going to find it and I'll link it. But I'll link it in the Discord. But if you guys haven't seen it, do check out last night's show. I'm not sure exactly why it was censored. Maybe we're onto something. Maybe we're not. Maybe it's just some kind of algorithm flag that made a mistake. And that wouldn't surprise me because it does happen. But there you go. So if you were wondering what happened to last night's Troubled Minds show, that's exactly what happened. Here we go. I've got the link itself. There we go. Bingo. Drop it in the chat. And the title, you think so? Monsters from underground taking people by the millions, says TikTok time traveler. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so whatevs. I'll get it fixed. If not, it's right there on Rockfin. So it's completely uncensored from the beginning to the end. You get all the goodies. Go check it out on Rockfin until I get the YouTube stuff fixed. And maybe one day I'll just give the middle finger to YouTube and we just do Rockfin entirely and dodge all the shenanigans that come with it. And we'll put like shorts up on YouTube, like 20-minute segments or something, and then point everything to Rockfin. That's probably the best way to do it. But there we go. So that's one thing for me to work on because I always have something to work on. There's only me. I only got two hands and 22 tentacles. So I'll just keep trying to do my best and catch up to all the work that needs to be done. Robert says probably censored because of Ronald's jokes. Could be, right? Damn it, Ronald. Always Ronald's fault. All right, let's do it. So smash the button and GTFO. You guys have a fantastic weekend. Happy Friday. Thanks for spending your time with us. Your time and your energy, that's the most important thing. Thank you. If you want to help the show, spread the word. That's the easiest thing. I got your rock fin right here. There you go. The easiest way to help the show is to spread the word. Just keep coming back. Spend your time and energy. I appreciate that very much. If you want to help the show, want to spend a little bit of scratch, I appreciate that. You can sub up right here on Twitch. That's probably the last thing you want to do because, of course, they take half of it, thanks Twitch. You could sub up on Rockfin directly, or you can sub up on Patreon. They take quite a bit less in fees. You could also go to troubledfans.com. See this hat I'm wearing? You can buy this hat there. And not this exact hat because it's got my sweat and stuff on it, but one that's sweat-free and will be yours, your own, your precious. So there you go. Troubledfans.com. You can find merch, shirts, hats, stickers, all kinds of stuff over there. A patch just hit, which I ordered. I'm going to test it out and see how cool that is, and I'll show it off on to the stream to you guys and whatnot. So take it easy, Stinky. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a fantastic weekend. And if you want to help the show, don't want to spend money, just go to the podcast feed, Spotify or iTunes or anywhere you get your podcast, Stitcher or Spreaker, you name it. All the places, it's completely free. Ads are baked in, and just play like an old show where you're making dinner or something. There's a lot of really good stuff back in that. Over 400 episodes, like 415 or 418 now. Actually, let me give you an exact count. It's exactly 417 episodes on the podcast feed. So pretty sure you haven't heard them all, and there's a lot of really great stuff up there. So that helps the show. Go back and listen to an old one and just let it play. Let those ads play. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much for all the enthusiasm. Thanks for all the kind words. Thanks for putting up with my crap. And let's go. Let's get the hell out of here. Have a great one, guys. Go Warriors. Playoff game tonight. Michael Strange out. Have a fantastic one. We'll see you guys later on the Discord, troubleminds.org. Click the Discord link.